Hey guys, welcome back to the B List. I'm B, and I'm joined here by Elliot Glazer. He is a writer, actor, comedian. He's worked on shows like Broad City. You were a producer there.
Yep, writer, actor on that too.
Yeah, you were. Were you a writer on Younger?
A writer on Younger, yeah. Mm-hmm, for and the New first Girl. Couple seasons, yeah, and New Girl, yeah. With Zooey Deschanel. Everyone's favorite.
Is she still around? Like, I don't really like follow her career as much, so I don't.
I think she's still around. She got married to a very Jewish man.
Did you hear that buzzing? That's like my Amazon package. It's
oh, hilarious.
They'll figure it out.
Oh my god. She's married. She got married to a very Jewish man.
Okay.
And like she got like kind of religious-ish.
Okay.
At least while she's I was Jewish there, man. And then. No, well, subsequently, I know they got divorced and she's dating one of the Property Brothers.
I'm sorry, one second. Now they're knocking. I'm so sorry.
Sure, it's okay.
That's my landlord. I just moved into this place, if you can't tell. There's like shit everywhere. I just moved in 2 weeks ago and she's like asking me a random question about like...
Oh my God.
There's a lot going on today.
That's Brooklyn.
Yeah. I just moved to Greenpoint. I like lived in South Williamsburg before.
Oh yeah, I was always living in like F Train Brooklyn, Park
okay.
Slope, Ditmas Park, yeah. Sort of like yeah. Where the lesbians and families are.
Yeah, it's still pretty much that way. I call it grown up Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's like grown up Brooklyn. That's right.
Yeah. Happy October.
Thank you. Happy October to you as well. Are you going to do Halloween?
I don't think so. Someone asked me that last night. I was watching Kamala with a friend.
Yeah.
And do you know Khalid El Khatib?
I don't.
He's a writer. He's from like the Live Journal days too. That's just how I know you. Oh,
that's so funny.
Yeah. But
I know him by his handle.
Probably. I forget what it was. But we were watching the Kamala debates. That's essentially what it was.
The Kamala monologues.
Yes. And so I'm on day 6 of Death Watch. But we were talking about Halloween. I don't think I'm going to dress up this year. No, there's nothing to do and I'm not doing anything like, you know, in groups. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's the question. Are people going to gather and like use the Halloween, the Halloween experience to have an excuse to wear like maskage?
Well, mask.
That's what I'm saying. Can you get away with it if you're wearing like full blown mask with like no, you know, mouth hole?
I mean, I thought that would be funny, but like, I mean, realistically and seriously, I mean, alcohol does like inhibit people or what is,
yes.
Is that the right word? Yeah. I mean, so once people start drinking, all stuff goes out the window. So
yeah, I think all rules are off.
So I don't know. And it's dark outside. I kind of need like, if I'm going to be in groups, it needs to be like, well lit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've only lived in New York and LA. So I'm, you know, a coastal elite, if you want to call it that. But that all being said, I have never... Whenever I was shooting a movie 2 years ago and I was in Pittsburgh and that was on Halloween. And on Halloween day, I saw not a single Halloween costume in all of Pittsburgh. And it was like, oh, right. This is what like grownups do. Like there's such arrest development in New York and in LA and probably in Chicago and Austin and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But God, it was like I didn't see a single costume in Pittsburgh.
That's crazy. That's kind of depressing.
It's kind of depressing, but I think Halloween's fun, but like, I don't know. Sometimes I get too weary about like behavior that is like so steeped in childishness. Like I like celebrating a birthday. I like celebrating my birthday, you know, but at a certain point it is very funny to stop.
It's gay Christmas.
Like, yeah, it is. But to stop and be like, we're all like singing to each other with candles. And it's just like at a certain point, it's funny to step back and be like, we're still acting like little tiny babies. Wee babies.
Yes.
You know, where we just can't grow up.
Yeah. I wonder if this will switch. I mean, I'm normally like love Halloween. It's kind of my thing. I really love it. But, you know, I have no problem sitting this one out. I would rather do that because I just feel like it's going to be some depressing to try to.
Oh my God. Well, you know? Like everything else, it's like how will it not be depressing? I mean,
yeah, like what do you want to do? This like watered down version of it. I think I'll just sit this one out and like wait till
have you seen this? The Instagram gaze.
How many people,
over...
by the way, are going to go as the fly?
Oh my God. Well, that's, that is the question. Like this year, like, can you think of like, I think obviously we're going to see like the coronavirus, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. genetic look, yeah. the genetic version of it. We will definitely see the fly on Pence's head, you know, which is an overnight sensation.
You could see, this is maybe more for me. Maybe I'm just being like, thinking everyone's thinking the same way that I'm thinking, but it's just like, I probably famous protesters. Like I always immediately think of Cheesecake Girl. I think yes. of maybe the woman in the wheelchair. She's not necessarily a protest. Well, she was protesting, but on the wrong side.
On the wrong side.
Yeah. She got hit.
Yeah. I wonder if it would be a costume to dress as like a Trumper, like an idiot Trumper with like, I wonder if it's a costume. I guess you can't, there's no real subtlety in that. So you can't really make the joke about. Yeah, I mean,
people have been doing that for the past 4 years and it's kind of a stale look.
Very scary to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very scary. I always think a good costume would be if somebody, I wanted to do this, but was too lazy to ever actually execute it. But I think it would be really funny if you did like the View table and it's like, you're one of the heads and then you have like three other little, like,
I love that.
Behar head, Whoopi head, Sarah Haynes head, and, you know.
I like things that are like cardboard and kind of hard to kind of like navigate rooms.
Costumes.
Yeah, it was a box of wine last year. Could barely pee and stuff like that, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I like that.
It was functioning. Yeah. And it had a functioning bag in the inside. Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this year, I think it'll just be a lot of like Corona jokes, right?
Yeah,
like Corona
jokes. I don't want to relive.
I just hope people, I would love to see if people were like Dr. Fauci, like shorter people dressed like Superman, but as Dr. Fauci.
Or Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan would make a lot of sense. That'd be really good too. Oh my God. There are options, I guess.
There are so many. So did you watch the debates, obviously?
I did watch the debates.
The whole thing? This time I sat through the whole thing. Yeah.
I sat through the whole thing. Well, this to me is wildly different than, you know, watching Trump to debate, if you ask me, is so disturbing because it feels truly surreal. It feels like something that is just assaultive and violent and so not on par with reality.
We're so traumatized from 3.5 years
but it is from him. It's traumatizing.
And
that's how I feel when I watch when I watch those debates. I was actually with my parents. I was back in New York and we were just like spinning out, like full-blown panicking.
The Trump ones?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was just like a full-blown panic attack just watching, hearing the man scream and yell over Biden and berate his children. And Joe won't even match that, you know, like nobody will match that. Nobody is that moralist and just so easily flies off. Nobody acts like him. He acts like he's not like a human. He's like something else entirely. And so watching Kamala and Pence to me was like much more soothing because even as frustrating as Pence can be, I'm still watching two seasoned adults in the room debate. And yes, he speaks over women. And yes, he doesn't pay attention when people tell him to stop talking. But that being said, the two of them could have an eloquent, reasonable debate about real issues without throwing a tantrum.
And he did actually a pretty good job. I'm not going to
lie. Did.
I mean, he did. But I mean, for lying, he did a really good job. But
absolutely.
But the good thing about it that we walked away from, no matter which side you're on, is that it was pretty inconsequential. Like, it's just nice to see adults acting like adults. But I think they both kind of won in their own way. I mean, she definitely, is the winner if you're going to, call one. But it's just, like, they could have not had that, and the same effect would have happened.
He could he held his own, you know, he held his own, but like you really can't beat a woman like her who's just much more charming, much more laid back. She's got more Obama vibes to her, and that she's just an orator. She's relatable. She's someone you could easily talk to, whereas Pence has that whole like tightened asshole lip thing going on where you're like, what are you doing? Are you okay? You know, he's so mad that a woman is telling him to like shut up, and he's disobeying the rules. And I mean, clearly mansplaining, but to me, it's like that is like apples and oranges when you compare that to Trump screaming and being chastised like a little baby. And he just is completely, you know, he's completely without any sense of morals or compass.
I was going to say, actually, if I were to do Halloween, I'd probably do Kamala dancing.
Oh, Kamala dancing is good. Yeah. Her like sidestepping down the aircrafts.
Yeah.
And the private Tim's planes.
Or Converse, whichever.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yeah.
I would need a marching band. Likeable. I would do the marching band one.
Yeah. The marching band. A drumline Kamala.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's great. I really do like her, and I found her to be much more approachable last night. You know, she really is like the human being person, and he's just, but again, even if he's like a scrunched up, angry, historical politician, just grasping onto the last breath of like white supremacy and, you know, Caucasian monolith or whatever. Even with that being said, I'd still rather watch that than Trump act like a fucking full blown lunatic on a steroid craze, you know?
Yeah. Sorry, my dog is like looking at my knee. I was going to say, actually, well, so you used to live in New York. You went to NYU, right?
Yes, I'm from New York. I'm from Long Island originally, and I went to NYU. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, the things that you really miss about NY, I mean, are they like specific? I mean, obviously.
It's all but like, food. Is there like one? It's all food. It's all food. LA honestly has become, in my opinion, like sister cities with New York in a lot of ways.
Because there's so many people that go back and forth.
There's so many people that go back and forth, including me. There's been such an exodus of comedians that I came up with in New York who've come here, like in mass numbers, you know. But ultimately, I feel like between restaurants and just honestly, and just sort of like the cultural fabric, it does feel like each city has kind of become closer and closer together in terms of their cultural sentiments, you know. And like, I feel, you know, this is like a little tangential, but like growing up, whenever we would leave New York and go on a trip to wherever we'd go, we didn't really go on particularly exotic vacations, but a lot of like New England and Pennsylvania, whatever it was.
Princeton, Rhode Island.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. But anytime we would go anywhere as a kid, I would get so like nervous. I'd get like butterflies in my stomach. And I think it took me until adulthood to realize that I just never felt as, I guess, at home as I did in New York in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And even I think as an adult, I'm like, I don't know if it's not so simple as to say that it's because like there are Jews there, but like if I'm in a place where it feels like, you know, somebody is going to ask me if I have horns, or, you know, they're going to like be like, you don't drink milk. Right. And it's like, no, you're getting the rules all wrong.
Yeah. You're mixed out.
But something about that, I feel a little bit of that vibe when I'm in a place where I feel like there isn't a, you know, a Jew for hundreds of miles, you know, and that makes me feel inherently
understandable,
a little creeped out.
Yeah.
I'm not religious at all. I'm just saying like the culture of New York and the culture of LA,
I get that,
sort of feeds that for me.
I agree with the whole sister city comment.
Yeah.
Do you have like worse places in New York? I mean, I have so many. Do you have like places that you never, that you never want to see again? Like if you were to pick like,
oh my God,
like if you weren't, it's like Times Square, obviously, like, but you can't say Times Square. What are the worst places in New York City?
I know I'm like an old, I feel like an old coot, but like I never really got the joy of L Train Brooklyn. Like I would go obviously to like have fun or whatever, like go to bars and stuff, but like I don't think I could ever have lived in Williamsburg or Greenpoint or Bushwick because I needed some minor element of like trees and brick and like something a little
it's
cozier.
Changed a lot.
A lot. I know.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. It's definitely more green spaces and
Greenpoint, it's wild.
Pretty green.
Greenpoint is cool. I think I could do without ever going to like a store. I don't need Astoria, you know. I don't need it.
But the food
I don't need it. The food is great.
You know, I would say the L train, just in terms of like the Broadway Junction. Broadway Junction is probably like one of the worst places in New York City to me. Or like the Manhattan Mall. Manhattan Mall's pretty.
Oh god, the Manhattan Mall, yeah. There's something to me that was always very depressing about the financial district.
Okay.
And you know, like the fact that
something
like,
charming about it to me, but you know, but it also just gets me stressed out because when I think of court.
Oh yeah, it's very stressful. See, I think it's stressful down there, not just because it's so, you know, it's money and law, but beyond that, it's like there you can't really see the sun. And the buildings are so high and the streets are so dense that it always feels dark. And I remember very distinctly in junior year at NYU, I chose one of the dorms down there, not the Water Street dorm, which everyone wanted because it had tons of space, but I chose the Cliff Street dorm, which was like kind of a block away from the Water Street dorm.
Yeah.
And I had such, I went into like such a depression that that semester.
And there's no good restaurants. Everything closes after a certain hour.
It's literally like, where the fuck am I? Where am I? And it's like another world. My friend
lives down there. Never going down there.
Never. It's just so dark. And like, you just, everything closes. I don't know. It feels like a ghost town after 6 p.m. And if you are going to go out down there, all you're going to run into are like finance bros. So it's not necessarily a chill place for you to go if you're anything other than like a finance bro or like a finance lady looking for a finance bro.
Yeah. I mean, Leah loves it and she's not definitely not a finance bro, but I don't know. Maybe it's changed. I don't know.
Hey, listen, if she likes it, she knows what she likes. I mean, there are other people there, but it was tough for me.
A very New York thing to me that I always think of New York City is Broad City.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or I think
it's very New York show.
Yes. One in the same at this point.
Yeah.
It feels very, you know, one in the same.
You know, once I think I actually met your sister once, Alana, and it was a totally weird situation. I was dating this guy. I'd been dating him for like a year. And he was friends with Anderson Cooper. Mm. And Anderson Cooper has like that converted, of course he does, like a converted
firehouse,
right? In the West Village that he's converted into like, I think it's like a four or five story home.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But he had a birthday party. Oh. And it started out like really quiet and stuff. And it was only like about 20 people. And then somehow over the course of the evening, it turned into like at least 70 to 100 people, it felt like.
Yes.
And I remember getting dark in there. And your sister was somewhere in the mix of people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she was like smoking in the corner.
Sure. That is her thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny because people don't. Yeah. I mean, people often, I mean, you know, it's different for me, but I think people often think that she or I are like the characters from the show. Uh-huh. And understandably, I mean, it makes sense because those are our real names.
Yeah, she was like very quiet, actually, like a little bit, I guess reserved. Yeah.
Yeah. My sister's much more reserved. And I always like to tell people that I am not the like angry bitch that was on the show. This like pissy bitch who would like, I would literally never in a million years like turn away my family if they needed help. And I hated that I did that on the show because it felt so unkind and disingenuous to be like, no, you know, I'm a bitch.
Yeah.
I hated that. But listen, I was also a writer on the show. So I
You wrote that for myself.
I
just remember that evening and I remember like, you know, Lucy Liu was floating around somewhere in the background. It was like the most random hodgepodge of like celebrities, right? It was like Rippa and like random, but like
I feel like Anderson and Andy and Kelly Rippa are like one and the same. They're like a their own weird like bubble of gay and gay adjacent stuff.
Yeah. And like that kind of stuff doesn't really marvel me. Like we talked about this the other day, but I'm like not that like into the idea of celebrity just for the sake of like, I'm not really into celebrities, I guess is what you'd say. I like reality stars sometimes and like sometimes, but not like desperate ones. I like I love like first season housewives, like the idea of like a first season housewife who's like kind of clunky and like really bad at makeup and like
You love a Barbara Kovavit or whatever her name
Kavavit.
is. Kavavit. You stand Barbara.
We love Barbara.
We love Barbara.
We love Barbara. Do you like Barbara Kay?
I she was completely inconsequential. I'm honestly more obsessed with Cindy Barshop.
Oh, Cindy Barshop. Yeah. They're friends. That, I could see that.
Oh my God. See, like my boyfriend is rewatching Real Housewives of New York from the beginning. Uh-huh. And I've been like jumping around with him here and there, but he's farther ahead. And I was just like rediscovering the joy of Cindy because she was so not meant to be on the show. She fits in so poorly.
And so like so cheated because like not only did she wasn't supposed to be there, but like came on the season after Bethany left and people were like, oh, look, a brunette.
Yes.
You must be the new Bethany. And it's like,
exactly.
Not at all.
But I love how she, like, what I love about her is that even though it's the Housewives of New York, she truly is like the Real Housewives of all of Long Island with the accent and the hair and the teeth.
Yeah, with the hair and the teeth. And it's like the Beiyang. She's got the Beiyang that hangs right over.
It's so nuts. She's like, I had twins. Don't ask where they came. You know, she's just so.
Yeah,
like
never like filmed with the actual father of the kids.
Never.
Like, what did happen to these fucking kids?
It's so, and it's just like, so wild.
Yeah.
And I love I love that she's like, I love that she's just so gruff. Like they clearly misfired when they wanted to like get another Bethany. It was such a blatant misfire.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like she was pretty charmless. She wasn't relatable. You know, the whole like showing off the like sets of nannies was wild. And then also, I think equating her trying to get like a sort of trying to give like a skinny girl sheen to like to vajazzling.
Yeah,
it's so funny to me that she's like, I do, you know. And Kelly, or I guess it was Kelly or whomever, was like, you do what? Like, she doesn't want to talk about. It's like, we see you showed your tits. Like,
yeah,
like, we've
yeah,
seen like your tits. Like, crazy. She's like, I don't talk about those things.
I will say, like, Real Housewives in New York, for as like as much of a crown jewel as it is, and the I guess in the crown of like Bravo reality shows, kind of like the casting process is a little bit wonky. Like, they get it right for several seasons in a row, and then if one part gets wrong, the whole thing falls apart. To me,
of course.
To me,
yes. I liked all the. Well, I was thinking, like, they're all sort of like avatars for something, you know, like Luann initially is like an avatar for like society, Sonia, and or like etiquette. Sonia is also like an avatar for like society, but then she becomes an avatar for like middle-aged women being hyper horny.
Yes, yeah, like a cougar, like a Sex in the City.
A cougar, like, right. Yeah. Ramona, but like of all of the, Kelly, and but that's where the show, I find it enjoyable, because Kelly and Ramona and Alex are all so bizarre in their own ways, so weird that you can't really peg them. They're all so truly, sincerely, and earnestly fucking weird.
Yeah, and like, I miss Alex McCord. Do I need her back? No, but I love that. I love a kooky housewife. I love someone who's too. Just like,
She's so explicitly Brooklyn, in that she's, you know, she wants to be like a society, you know, a socialite with her husband, but they're just queer enough. And by
the
way, like,
where she lives now is probably more expensive than where even any of the current women live now.
Of course.
It's like, you know.
But even during the process, it was like, they were Brooklyn enough because they were just weird enough to be like, kind of gay, kind of queer. She had like a sort of, she had sort of like a waspy intellectual thing kind of going, like,
kind of not, like a Northwestern.
Yes. Yeah. Northwestern. Exactly. And then obviously Simon was like somewhere on the scale, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, nothing was funnier than, nothing was funnier than Alex talking about being a model.
That's right. With her hair, right? Was it like when she went on the,
well, she talks about that, but also she talks about being signed. No, she talks about being signed to a modeling agency. And it's like, she's talking about this. Yes.
Yeah.
And she's talking about it literally in her basement, like at a copy machine or a fax machine.
Yeah. At her like dial up internet.
It is. And I'm like, this is where like Brooklyn gets that rap, because she and Simon are so weird that she has somehow, I guess, tricked herself into thinking that she's some great beauty. And it's like, by the way, she's not an ugly woman, she's unattractive, but she like sets up the joke so that we're all like, you're not a model. You know, it's like, she's setting it up. And that's it's so defeating. But like, God, what are you talking about, lady?
I mean,
what are you talking about?
And that's when those shows really get amazing for me. And I think that's why I also love a first season housewife, because there's so many chances for them to like not get the joke and not be in on it. Like Sheree Whitfield, the first season, talking about all the parties that she was invited to. Meanwhile, we know that she was foreclosed on in her house, and she's it's just like,
but I don't like when they get away with that shit. That too. I don't like when they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the editors shoot everything and cut everything with like a wink so that we're in on the joke. But I don't like when they get away with it. Like, I hate how much, the only housewives I watch are New York, and then sometimes I'll watch Jersey because it makes me miss home.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's like, Long Island was like. But I hate that they gave Teresa Giudice a pass by editing her and her husband going to jail, as if it, when they say like, we went away, or they talk about it like somebody passed away tragically. It's like, no, these are criminals, like actual criminals who fucked people over, who lied about their money. You don't have to edit them to make them look like they're like doing their penance, you know, or like,
wow, they really
deservative.
Did
that. I know.
Waits her with that. Like, it's talk about a spin.
I think that's so, you know, I just think that's such a lame spin to make it look like what they did was some sort of like mistake, when it was all clearly calculated. And also, Joe's a piece of shit.
That he is, truly. He literally like a piece of shit. Short, like just like really.
Yeah. Oh man.
Lumpy
everything.
They really are like lucked out with Margaret Josephs. She completely changed the trajectory of that show and made it something completely different.
Yes, I like her a lot. And I love her relationship with her mother. On.
Yeah,
I know. I love her relationship with her mother. I'm also so sad to say that I checked up on Siggy to see what she was to. And she is a monster
trumper. Okay, so let's get into that. Okay, so I sometimes go down the rabbit hole. Like sometimes I'm, did the same thing and looked at her fucking Twitter, and that's all it is.
All
and
she cares about is Donald Trump. That's all she talks about.
And fighting with people. And fighting. I can't even imagine what she was like in real life, but I...
Oh my God.
Or this podcast, I interviewed Jackie from, from the current season And we went to her house and we were sitting there and we talked for a while. And then when I was leaving, she's like, yeah, Siggy lives like right at the corner over there. She lives like right down the street from her. She pointed to a house and it looked exactly like the house on the show. And it was huge.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, driving around it. It's a beautiful house, but I was just like, felt terrified that she had to live down the street from her. And it's weird because they didn't sound like they even really ever, they had met like once or twice through neighbors, but never. That's so weird to like a fellow housewife lives down your street.
Yeah, I mean,
my
guess is that someone like Jackie does not share Siggy's politics.
No,
so that probably, that probably is
they can say that. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably either a point of contention or just a reason that they have nothing to talk about. Because Siggy, it's not like Siggy's secretly a Republican. She is loud and proud, a Trump monster who bullies other people about Trump. I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, I know that there are some Jews who push for Trump because of Israel. That's the only reason. And for me, that is far from enough of a reason like him. But Siggy's behavior about it is so jarring to me that it just reads like a crazy, sycophantic lunatic. And I'm like, I can't.
Ow. I wonder if sometimes, like, you're on a show like that, and then you're, I wonder how much of that persona online lended to her being kicked off the show or not invited back.
It's a good question. I honestly would guess not much. I think because they're just so, look, I'll be there. These aren't,
because I mean, like, even someone like Kelly Dodd is still on her show and she wears Drunk Wives Matters baseball caps.
Ew,
like,
what?
Did you see that? Yeah,
she's I don't know what, who's that. I know. Who is that?
Kelly Dodd is on Real Housewives of OC. I don't follow her anymore. And Drunk Wives Matter. I saw that in some headline somewhere. I know. And
it
doubled down on it and was like trying to explain the joke. It's like, no, we get it.
Oh, lady. It's just not a good idea.
Cancel OC? Cancel
it. Oh, my God.
When is the last time someone wanted to live in OC?
Oh, my God. It's, you know? I will tell you, it is very, as somebody who lives in LA, like, you wouldn't believe the stark comparison between LA and the OC.
I'm really amazed by that.
The moment you go down, we go down there, if we're going for a day trip or something like that, the moment you get there, there are literally Trump stickers. There's Trump boats with the flag. And it's like, you know,
I think any boating community is going to be Trumpish.
Well, actually, my sister
said, very big into boats.
There was a huge Biden boat parade thing. And we were like looking at, we were laughing. Right. We were laughing at, there was like a boat parade.
We would have like an old fucking boat.
Slave ship. No, but we were like, look, it's like a boat parade for Biden. But at the same time, it's like, no one cares. We're not lunatic. We don't need, none of us need a boat parade to say, this is who I'm voting for. I don't need a boat parade. I just need a normal person to make normal decisions about the normal people in the world. You know,
I don't even like need a lawn. I don't even have a place to put a lawn sign. Most Biden voters probably rent.
Exactly. We're renters. It's fine. Just hang it from your balcony.
We're a contingency of renters.
Yeah.
Do you have other big projects coming up?
Oh boy. Well,
I know. COVID is kind of a different situation.
I know. It's kind of ruined everything. I'm writing a movie right now at Nickelodeon, which is a first for me.
Is it like live action?
It's live action. It'll be a musical, which is also a first for me.
Okay.
And it's with Liza Koshy, who's a big influencer. She's like one half. She dated David Dobrik. I'm like tuning into like what kids do. That's like part of this job, figuring out what kids do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm writing a movie for her. And then, I don't know. And then incidentally, I also just finished writing on a show that stars her. That is it's on YouTube Originals. So it's like Cobra Kai or whatever, like one of those shows called Liza on Demand. Yeah. So
okay.
I just finished writing on that just as a coincidence. I'm like all things Liza right now.
No.
Yeah.
And so you're currently writing that, I was just thinking about COVID times and how production schedules have changed and stuff, but
Globe got canceled. Glow got canceled.
Were you a Glow fan?
I was, yeah.
I loved the idea. I thought the first season was so good. And the second and third season, I was like, this isn't like, but I still support it because I love the story. And I love, I mean, I was obsessed. As I'm sure you were too, right? You seemed like you would like, even before the show came out, I knew what Glow was. I remember like you would.
Oh my God. Well, I love Jackie Stallone.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That's right.
Jackie Stallone, I think either started it or was like the sort of the face of it in the 80s, yeah, you know, Sylvester's like mother. Yes, and she is a raving lunatic. And she just passed like a couple of weeks ago.
She was definitely like 98. Or was.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But she was one of the, like, if I know you love early 2000s reality shows, mm-hmm. you need to look up clips of her on Celebrity Big Brother UK from like 2006.
Dear. Oh, wow.
She like revived her career by being on a show, but she didn't understand what Big Brother was. And she's this sort of like,
can I go home now?
She's incredible. She was like, I thought I was going to be on a show. Like she thought she was walking into like some sort of like intellectual salon. She doesn't understand it. She doesn't understand that she's on TV. She doesn't understand that there are cameras. She doesn't understand what time it is. There's incredible clips of her. And the ladies from
looking this up right after
the ladies from AbFab like did sketches as Jackie Stallone in the short, you know, the 15 minutes where she became huge in the UK because of Big Brother. There are some amazing sketches. She was a genius, but she was the face of Glow in the 80s.
It seems like Big Brother in the UK is way stronger than the American.
I think so. I mean, the like, time when who's Tiffany?
Tiffany Pollard?
Yeah. That moment where David Bowie's ex-wife tells her that David's dead, and she thinks it's David Guest who's in the house, and it's David Bowie on the outside. Brilliant, genius. People are imagine? So fanatical.
I wonder
about
if like Tiffany Pollard can name a David Bowie song.
Oh my God, not a chance. Not a chance. She's down, but like, I don't think I don't think so.
I was going to say about Jackie Stallone. No, because what I know of you is I remember from the early days of when we first talked. I mean, it's the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But you have always had a fascination with like senior women. Like, like kind of like an older woman, a woman of a certain age.
Yeah, it's funny because it used to be like a bit, but at a certain point, it's like, how much of a bit can it be if you're doing this, you know? Yeah. And like in high school, I literally worked at Talbot's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
As a bit. And it's like, yeah, the
I brought
joke's
that up
on
the
me.
Other day. I was just
you
talking
did.
About Talbot's in passing. I didn't realize you actually worked there.
I did, because I was literally just trying to deflect anybody from knowing I was gay in high school. So I was sort of doing class clown, but on speed. So I'm like, I love old ladies. I'm working at Talbot's. You know, it's like, I was all in. And that sort of, even after I came out, it did continue as a theme in my life for some reason. But I love older women. I love the Golden Girls. I love, you know, I love women of a certain age. I can't help it, you know. Jackie Stallone fits right in there.
If one of the Golden Girls could moderate last night's debate instead of Susan.
Dorothy, without a doubt. I mean, Bea Arthur would take no shit.
You don't think her mom would?
Sophia would be good, but Sophia would be too... She'd want to insert herself too much, and Dorothy is a teacher, so she'd have a little bit more etiquette in terms of inserting herself into the conversation. But she would just have had Pence by the balls.
Remember the there was a spinoff.
Yes, the Golden Palace.
Of course, you would. Yeah, why I'm asking you, you would. What was it called?
The Golden Palace.
And it was like a resort, right? Or like
Blanche, Rose, and Sophia for some reason open up a hotel, or they manage a hotel in Miami. Uh-huh. And Don Cheadle works there, and Cheech Marin works there. It is literally
one season, right?
I think just one. It was an abhorrent show, really bad. Except
I'm
for
look
the,
it up again. Yeah.
Except for the episode where Bea Arthur came back. And literally, like, you, the moment she comes back, it works immediately. It works.
Yeah.
But you need all four of them. It doesn't work without Dorothy.
You know what I've always said, completely unrelated, but I guess it's Florida, and it would be old women. I've always said that Real Housewives of Boca Raton or Fort Lauderdale would make sense.
Oh my God, that would make so much sense. I would rather see that before I see Salt Lake City. I want to see Boca. Give me Boca. I don't
Give
even
Boca.
Need Miami.
Give me like
me
retired
Boca.
Women living in like God. Boca. I love an older housewife.
I would
women
love
that's like
that.
Kids are in college, all they're doing is drinking and shopping.
Yes, empty nesters. Yes.
Yes.
I want to see that. I want to see that. Also, I thank you for explaining on my podcast, explaining Potomac to me, because I didn't understand the appeal of it. Now I get it. But I still think there are other places. Like, they did a show on Bravo called Princesses of Long Island.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, my God. It was great. And my friend Michael and I would watch.
There was a woman who was like 3 foot tall in there. I mean, yes, not really.
Lauren,
not
little Lauren.
Little Lauren, but she was really, like, I think really self-conscious about it, right? I think.
She was tiny.
Yeah.
But the reason that show was so good was because, as somebody who's from Long Island and is sort of has always been,
it was
sort
the
of
North Shore, right?
It was the North Shore, and I just was obsessed with the. I come from Long Island, and in doing so, like, I have always been so fascinated by the fabric of it, because there's such a distinct type of New York
racism.
That Long Island is. It's so racist, you know, it's so everyone is so not just ethnocentric, but they're so arrogant without a reason to be arrogant.
Yeah,
I can't explain it, but Princesses of Long Island was so fun to watch for two reasons. One, because it took place on Long Island, but two, because they had to try to explain what Long Island is to the rest of the country, and they didn't really do a good job of it.
Every reality show that's, because I think there was a moment where Bravo kept trying to do that. There was also Secrets and Wives. I don't know if you remember that one.
No, I don't know that one.
It was about these wives that were like, or ex-wives, and they're all friend group, and they all ended up dating the same men throughout their entire time growing up in Long Island. One of them was like engaged to one of their exes, and you know, they basically all slept with the same men,
right?
But they were friends, and it was basically like a Housewives, but in Long Island. But it's really difficult to kind of and convey what Long Island is really about, or at least its charms, because I'm charmed by parts of Long Island, but I don't know how someone in California would even care.
It's hard to explain. I mean, it's, for one thing, it's like Fire Island is there, which is its own thing. The Hamptons are there, which is their own thing.
Yeah.
The North Shore versus the South Shore, you know, like a Nassau County versus Suffolk County, the white trash part of Suffolk County, like it's hyper Jewish in Nassau County. People don't want to be associated with Brooklyn and Queens, but nobody in Brooklyn and Queens wants to be associated with Long Island.
Yeah,
there's so many elements to it.
A lot
and they're
of
all
rules.
Caucasian.
It's a lot of
it's
fucking
all
rules.
Caucasian, and all of it is dominated by a sort of Irish Catholic / Italian macho ethos that is so oppressive. It can only just make you super hard. Like, it makes you hard. It's a hard style of living, and people are always just on the verge of cursing you out. It's like the air is violent. The air is violent.
I feel that. I have a very Long Island attitude about myself. Are you from like near where the mall is? Not the mall, because there's so many, but
there's so many.
Roosevelt Field.
No, I'm a little bit east, just over the Nassau-Suffolk border in Suffolk County. It's like,
okay.
It's called Smithtown.
Incidentally,
it's so, growing up there, like me and all my friends, for the most part, were obviously like very open-minded liberal people, even when we were kids, and our parents pretty much were as well. And so it wasn't until after, during college, but even after college, and especially into the Trump years, that I realized how red it is. Mm-hmm. And this pizzeria that, you know, pizza's obviously like oxygen on Long Island. It's literally everywhere, pizzerias. And the pizzeria that I grew up closest to in my town was, a neighborhood flagship. Everyone went there. That's where everyone got their pizza from. Like, it's famous there.
Yeah.
And then recently, in the last year, I don't even think it's more than the last 6 months, this place, the owner put up a Trump's flag in the back of the restaurant, in the back, outside.
Yeah.
And it caused a kerfuffle, I guess, on Facebook or something. And so it built and built and built. And it became such a thing that it was written about. And then Trump tweeted about this stupid fucking pizzeria on Long Island. And it has thus consequently blossomed, and it's become like a Trump ground zero, where they have socially distant parties outside.
Okay.
No masks. They've all got signs. They have all the hats. They have all the clothes. They have a Trump impersonator come in a fucking with a fake Secret Service to tell jokes, and these people are all cheering them on.
It is
nuts, and it's so disturbing to me because it's around the corner from where I grew up.
Yeah, I mean, New York itself is going really insane, as you've probably read.
Insane.
Borough Park is going crazy right now with like all the protests in the past couple of nights. I mean, that's obviously so far from where I live. So it's like,
I know, but it's like to think that like these, you know, they're mostly like Orthodox Jews. And it's like, what are you guys protesting? It's like, look, if you guys, I mean, I always say as a Reformed Jew. Well,
they're protesting, I guess you can't like gather in large groups in religious congregations. So I guess that's, you know, they're.
Right. But their life is often seems like they're protesting living in the same decade or not decade, living in the same century that we do. They always seem to be in protest of like cars that aren't minivans or like, you know, food that isn't theirs. And I'm just like, can you guys just like chill out a little bit, just chill out a little bit and acknowledge that there's a pandemic that's happening where they're trying to keep you safe.
It's not trying to keep all of us safe,
trying to keep you alive. And they're like protesting. It's like, you can't protest a pandemic, you dummies, you know, but I see it's chaos.
It is fucking chaos. I mean, what I see from online, but you know, I don't really leave my neighborhood, so I don't.
Well, it's understandable.
Yeah,
that's like D train Brooklyn, I think.
I want to get to talking to you about some other things, like Real Housewives in New York, a bit more.
Sure.
I want to talk to you about dating in LA. I want to ask you about the Witches trailer. Did you see this?
Oh, I don't care. I don't care.
I'm not gonna.
I mean, I remember the original movie was fun, but I just don't care about that. And like, I'm not a hocus pocus gay.
I'm not really a hocus pocus. Every time I ask
never
people
cared.
About Halloween movies, people always, that's the one. And I'm like,
I have nothing against it. It never charmed me. Yeah. It never charmed me.
Do you want to tell people where to follow you on Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah, you just follow me at Elliot Glazer on Instagram, on Twitter. It's 1L1T and GLAZER. That's pretty much it.
And then you've got your podcast.
Yes, I do a podcast called You're Making It Worse, of which you were a guest this week.
Yes.
thankfully. So I do that with my buddies, H. Allen Scott and Brent Sullivan.
Cool.
Yeah, and I do a live show called Hunting. Yes. You can find it anywhere. I do a live show called Hunting Renditions that I do in New York and LA and on tour. But obviously, it's all come to a crashing halt right now. So
yeah.
We'll see when that picks up, I guess.
You guys know where to follow me. And if you guys want to hear the bonus episode where we're going to talk about all these things. Did you ever watch Bethany Ever After? Did you ever watch
that? Did I? Of course I watched it.
I've been watching it today. I was like painting my apartment. And I was like, had it on in the background because I've never like fully sat through and watched it. And I keep going through it so slowly and it is so dark.
I love it.
We're going to get into this
so much. Good. Because I just rewatched it all again.
Max was really cute.
I follow him on Instagram.
Oh, you do? Yes. He's straight, right? Yeah, he's straight.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he's like short.
Very short. Tiny.
It's really short.
Very, very short. Yeah.
If you guys want to hear this and all the other topics that we're going to talk about, you can subscribe to The B-List on patreon.com/TheB-List. And yeah, you'll get the bonus episodes. Also, we've got The Recap, which is a weekly podcast episode with my producer, Tracy, where we recap Real Housewives of Potomac. So you can also get that there too. Thanks, guys.